So the second question that I was asked, I'm combining a couple of different questions, and it relates to a mystical concept which you will see in many places, Mibsaria Chazeloka, which is a pasuk in Iov. And the way that pasuk is understood mystically is that through looking at my body, I can perceive and understand God. That might not be the Pshuto Shel Mikra, but that is the way it's understood mystically. Now, we all know that one way to perceive God is through the universe.
What is the literal meaning
Take a look at Rashi in the right below. You'll see. Now, we all know, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perek Beis, that a person goes ahead and looks at the universe, and through contemplation of the universe and recognition of his own smallness, comes to an intense fear of God, and then a tremendous love of God, and the like. So we can come to a relationship to God through science, through examining the universe. However, this pasuk, as I said, according to mystical sources, is telling us something much deeper. I'm sure you've all seen those pictures on Kabbalah books or Kabbalah websites or Kabbalah billboards, which has a picture of a person or a human form with the 10 spheros, and different parts of the body correspond to different types of spheros, and somehow or another this body is a representation of God, and you look at it and it seems a little bit gross, imagining God as man and the like. So this is what I would like to talk about now. As I said, it very much relates to the first question that was asked, namely interpreting things literally and non-literally. One of the reasons why it relates to it is because part of the motivation for these, or I shouldn't say motivation, but many of the sources concerning these mystical ideas come from actual literal readings of certain psukim. Now, one question that we didn't discuss when we considered our first question, why is it that the Torah presents things non-literally or allegorically? In other words, why didn't the Torah just say what it means? It's a little strange. Why confuse us? Why doesn't it say exactly what it means? And why present things frequently in a way that challenges us and forces us to struggle with the understanding of the pasuk? So, I think probably there are many components to this answer. The simplest answer is Dibra Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam, an idea in Chazal that the Rishonim pick up on. And that basically means that the Torah will sometimes sacrifice certain things to allow us to relate to him. So to take an example, according to the Rambam, to refer to God as Rachum, the Chanun, or the like is actually false, because positive attributes are not relevant to God. They imply corporeality and the like. But nevertheless, the Torah does so, and presumably it does so because it helps us relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very important to have a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just to sit around philosophizing all day. And that being the case, these literal inaccuracies help us do that. Another answer is because there are multiple layers of meaning. In other words, through studying both the Pshat and the Drash and the like, we come away with various true understandings. And finally, what's relevant to us and our current discussion is that the Torah frequently hides its secrets. We all know the Ramban, who says that the first parak of Sefer Bereishis does not make any sense and does not convey any meaningful information except on a mystical level. In fact, that's how the Ramban understands the question that Rashi poses on Bereishis, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph. Why did the Torah start with Bereishis? Why didn't it start with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem? The Ramban says, what do you mean? Of course it needed to start with Bereishis, because Bereishis teaches us important Yesodos HaAmunah, like Bria Yesh Me'ayin. The answer is, the Bria Yesh Me'ayin I could have known through the Pasuk in the Aseret HaDibros, Ki Sheyesh Hashem Himasa Hashem Asa Shemayim Ve'Asaretz Vayom Hashish Avas Vayinafash. So the question is, why did we need the chapter? Because if you're going to say that the purpose of the chapter is to teach us what was made on the second day and what was made on the third day, that information doesn't really help us very much unless we understand the deeper and the truer meaning, and that's the mystical meaning. And therefore, since anyway the mystical meaning requires a tradition, so what has been gained by actually telling the psukim? So, based off of this, we can now explore our topic. The Ramban writes, if you look on the bottom of page 3 in your source sheet, this is from Shmos Perek Lamed, the discussion of Kiddush Yadayim Viraglayim. And as we know, the Ramban will frequently explain a pasuk or a mitzvah based off of pshat, and then tell us al derech ha-emes, the mystical interpretation. And he writes that the mystical understanding of Kiddush Yadayim Viraglayim is as follows. Ba'avur hayos rosh ha'adam v'sofo hayadayim v'haraglayim. The extremities of a person are his hands and his feet. Ki hayadayim lamala mikol gufo behagbiho osan. V'haraglayim lamata v'hem b'tzuras ha'adam remez l'eser sviros sheyia kol gufo b'neihem. Now there's, imagine a person is standing like this, with his hands on top of him in a V, and his feet spread out like a V. So that would have the would be a reflection of the ten spheros. The Kemosha Amru b'Sefer Yetzira Karas Lo Bris Bein Eser Etzbaosav Bein Eser Etzbaos Yadav Uvein Eser Etzbaos Raglav B'Milas Halashon Uvemilas Hamaor. So this corresponds to the two brisim that we have, the Bris Mila and the Bris HaLashon, which are in between these two extremes, with the 10 fingers and the 10 toes spread out above and below them, as the Sefer Yetzir explains. Lefikach nitztavu misharsei ha'elyon lirchotzei yadayim v'raglayim. That's why the Kohanim were obligated to wash their hands and feet before the Avodah. Now, don't expect me to explain to you what this means. I don't understand this myself. However, suffice it to say that what we see from this Ramban is the idea that the human shape, the human form, is one which, according to the Sefer Yetzirah and the Zohar, as we'll see in a moment, and the like, is a reflection of deeper truths and even ways of perceiving and understanding God. And that is what is meant by HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating man, B'Tzelem Elokim. So, Tzelem Elokim is one of the examples of what we talked about in the first question, namely Pasuk, which seems to, if understood superficially, imply some type of corporeality, and one which the Rambam explains in the first section of the guide in such a way that does not, of course, imply corporeality. Now, that's not to say that mystical thinkers believe that God has a physical body, Rahmana Litzlan. All of this is metaphorical. However, what they do say is that by understanding the human body, we are able to come to a closer and a truer understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like the Pasuk says, Mibsari, from my own body, Achazel Loka, I'm able to see God. If you turn to page 4, the Zohar writes that this is the correct interpretation of that pasuk. Pasach idach ve'amar umibsari achazelo ka mai umibsari umeatzmi mibayilei. Why does it say from my flesh I could see God? It should say meatzmi. Ela mibsari mamish. Rather, it uses this word literally, from my physical body. Umaihi dechsiv ubisar kodesh yavru mealecha viksiv. Vaisab recibiv sarchem, detanya, b'chol zmana de israshim barnash behai rishima kedisha. And we won't even read the rest of the paragraph, but it's talking about bris milah as a fulfillment and a reflection. We all have, many of us went to a bris this morning, so that's what the bris milah is all about, according to the Zohar. Likewise, the Beis Yosef writes in Magid Meisharim, v'chi ha'gav nahave bebarnash birazan de mibsari achazeloka deleka midi bebarnash delesle dugma le'ela. There's nothing in the human body that doesn't have some type of parallel in God. Now again, when we're talking about God, we are only referring to that which we can relate to. We cannot relate to God's true essence, to the Ein Sof, an idea that both mystical thinkers as well as philosophical thinkers stress, is that while it's true there's a mitzvah to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of our ability, Da es Elokei Avicha, there are different means. Some Rishonim say that we should understand God through philosophy, others through mysticism and the like. But everybody agrees, more or less, that to the extent that we can, we must try to understand the Ribono Shel Olam. And one way, the Zohar is telling us, is through understanding the human body in a mystical sense. However, we should keep in mind that these types of extrapolations and interpretations are not meant in any sense literally. Rather, they are revelations of that which we're able to understand, and we don't imagine that we could understand God's true essence. The Shla writes that we know a person should not get out of bed without their clothing on, as the Shulchan Aruch says, and he writes, why is this? One of the reasons is because of tznius, and he goes on, ki evarei adam romzim lidvarim elyonim. The limbs of a person allude to elevated ideas. Kemo she'amar Iyov v'mibsari achazeh Eloka, af ki habris kodesh, as we saw in the Zohar, v'lachein in ra'ui legalosam, ki kavod Elokim haster evarim. The Maharal explains this idea in terms which perhaps are a little easier for us to understand. As we've mentioned before, the Maharal frequently cloaks mystical concepts in non-mystical terminology. You'll very rarely see overt mysticism in the Maharal, but much of Maharal is the presentation of mystical ideas. We all know that the word Olam is a reference to Ha'alam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself in the world. And one idea, one way in which we're able to get a conception of what's beneath the clothing is by studying the clothing and the shape of the clothing. So the Maharal writes in Derech Chaim, V'yadua ki ha'olam hazeh ha'gashmi hu kimo malbush el olam hanivdal. This physical world is like the clothing of the elevated and hidden world. Ukemosha malbush mituar bo halovesh, just as the clothing allows a person to get a sense of the shape of the body of the person wearing the clothing. Lo ba'amitaso shel halovesh, but not a full, true understanding. Rakafia malbush yituar halovesh. Af she'eno ba'amitaso, v'chein yituar Hashem Yisbarach be'olam hagashmi, mitzad olam hagashmi. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be described and understood in the physical sense, through the physical world. V'ne'amar al ha'adam, shehu b'tzelem elokim. This is, as we said, the idea of man being created b'tzelem elokim. Ki kasher yisponen ha'adam b'tzir gufo, when a person contemplates his own body, yachol ha'adam la'amod la'das es Hashem Yisbaruch. This could bring him to an understanding of God. With this, the Maharal understands the Gemara in Yevamos, which says that there's a contradiction. Menashe killed Yeshayahu HaNavi. Why? Because he said, look, there's stiros between what you said, Yeshaya, and what Moshe said. How so? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, and you, Yeshaya, said, Ve'er'es Hashem Yosheva al-kisei ram v'nisa. Moshe said, God can't be seen. And you said, I saw God sitting on a throne. So, the Gemara continues, but eventually says, Taka, what's the resolution to that contradiction? And the Gemara answers, Mikol makom kashukray adade, Ve'er'es Hashem k'detanya kolon v'yem nistaklu bas baklaria she'ena mi'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel Bas Baklaria Meira. Because Moshe was on a higher level of prophecy, he didn't need the mashal. He was able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu without the mashal. In other words, the fact that Yeshayahu perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu as sitting on a throne is a reflection of his lower level of prophecy. And the truth of the matter is, as the deterioration in prophecy continues, the impressions of God become more grandiose and more human-like. The Pasuk says that, if you take a look, the Medrash Rabbah below on the bottom quotes, Amar of Yudan Gadol Kochan Shal Nevi'en Shemedamin Sura Liotzra Shenamar Veshma Kol Adam Bein Oli. And likewise, the pasuk that's a pasuk from Daniel, referring to God as, or the voice of God as Kol Adam, or Valdemus Kisei Hademus Kimarea Adam Alav Milamala. In Yechezkel in his Maaseh Merkava sees a Demus Adam, which is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The further and further the prophets went from the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the more human-like their images became. Now, what does this tell us? Moshe Rabbeinu, who was on the highest level, didn't need a Tzuras Adam to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could see it without it. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, as we read about in last week's Parsha, that all the other Nevi'im had to prophesy with a Mashal or a Chida, but not Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? The idea is that all other prophets needed the allegory, needed the mashal, to understand the abstract truth. It's very hard to convey abstract reality to human beings who are physical and concrete beings. The purpose of an analogy is to concretize a concept which is abstract and thereby allow the recipient to understand it and extrapolate from the mashal and the chida the true reality. So it's a tool. If someone is very, very brilliant, they might not need that tool. They're able to understand an abstract idea without any type of concretization. But for most people, they'll need a mashal. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu's darg of nevuah was such that he didn't need the mashal. It's interesting, the Rambam writes in the Hakdama to Mor Nevuchim that when one is teaching Sisrei HaTorah, one should use a mashal and a chida, and the recipient will extrapolate from the mashal and the chida the true idea. One can't actually tell them the total truth. You could only be Moshe Roshe Prakim. And one reason is because it's impossible. The basic reason is because it's Asar. Meaning to say, the Rambam writes that one is not allowed to publicly teach esoteric concepts. But the deeper idea that the Rambam says, and the Sefer Kabbalah say as well, is that words which are limiting cannot express infinite ideas. If we sort of imagine the Olam Ha, Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa, so Machshava is limitless. Dibor is already some form of contraction, which makes it more tangible, but also limiting, and of course Maisa even more than that. And we take a look at the next sources. The Maharal expresses this idea in many places. He says that's what Chazal tell us. when they tell us the Ramach Evarim are Keneged the Ramach Mitzvos Aseh. Right? Ki Al Tachshov Kemo Shechashvu Ktsas Bnei Adam V'Hem HaRofim Ki HaEvarim Shel Adam Hem Tivim Kemo Shar Balei Chaim. Don't just imagine that the human limbs are natural like they are in other animals. No. Lo Yadu Be'emes Torah Adam V'Evarav Shekulhu Elohi. The scientists and doctors were not fully aware of the depth and the true profundity of the human body. And the Maral in a number of places, they're all very beautiful on their own. If we had time, I would read through them with you. Talks about many Ma'amari Chazal which express this. One is the Gemara Ksubos, for example, Daf Hey Amud Aleph, that talks about why we have earlobes and why our fingers are shaped in a particular way so that we can go ahead and prevent ourselves from hearing Lashon Hara. And the Maral says, maybe you'll think, you know, this, that's not the reason why we have earlobes. And he says, no, this is the reason we have earlobes. And likewise, later on, he writes, that is the whole idea of the Tzelem Elokim. He read on the bottom of page 5, Vafilosofim lo ra'u vihibitu rak hateva kemar rofim. The philosophers just saw the human body from a natural perspective. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu rak hateva. V'lekach lo amdu al habriya hazos hu ha'adam ki yitziras ha'adam befrat hakol hu inyan eloki, and so on and so forth. Now, another expression of this idea, and this brings us to the third question that was asked, is here too I'm going to combine a number of questions. One of the questions was, why is Talmud Torah so important? And there were some other questions which hopefully I'll answer with this. And this is just a continuation of what we've been discussing. If it's the case that we can understand God through nature, through looking at our own bodies, so alachas kama v'kama, we could come to an even deeper understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam through the Torah. At the beginning of the year, we discussed the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, and the way in which this is accomplished, it is through Talmud Torah. And one idea that you see across the board is the idea that Torah is the instantiation of divine wisdom. It's a garment for the abstract. Now, instantiate means to represent a concrete example or an idea. Now, this is true on many levels. When we learn Bava Metzia this year, so we seek to understand the Torah on a conceptual level, and we believe that the halachos that are reflected in the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Bava Kama are a manifestation of a conceptual concept. That's the whole idea of lamdas, right? Concrete expressions reflecting abstract ideas. And on a mystical level, this is true as well, that the Torah is Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, again, our Iker Limud is Nigla and Bav Metzia, and I don't expect that any of us will be able to see how Torah Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we do that, but I'd like to take a couple of minutes to explain how it is and the nature of this reality. We'll start with a passage from the Shla. The Shla writes, Ha'ikra tshi'i lo yachalif ha'el v'lo yamir daso. He's talking about Yigdal. We know the Iker of the Rambam, that Torah does not change. So lo techalef Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we're on the top of page 6. Alav Hashalom. The lo teitze Torah me'im Hashem Yisbarach Zulasa. The lo yaba lo tosefes v'lo giraon lo bichsav v'lo valpeh. The Torah is given once; it will never be added to nor detracted from. The pasuk says lo tosef lo tigra. And then he says, well, what about the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says, Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem, v'karasi es beis Yisrael, v'es beis Yehuda bris chadasha. A day is coming when I will make a new covenant with mankind. Doesn't bris chadasha imply that Torah will be changed? So this, of course, you know, is an idea that Christians raised and brought as support for their New Testament, Rachmana Litzlan. So he says, on a basic level, this pasuk is not a problem, as the Radak tells us. Bris chadasha means chidusha shehi tiye kayemes lo tufar kemo shehufra habris shekaras Hashem imnei Yisrael b'har Sinai. The idea is that the bris chadasha, which will be enacted la'asid lava, is going to be eternal. It will never be broken like the bris that was enacted at Har Sinai was broken. And that is the pshat. However, the deeper understanding is the following. Skip to the underlined text. Aval yesh od pnimius ledavar zeh. Kinoda kemoshe nizgashem ha'adam kein nizgashma ha'torah. Just as human being is nisgashem, so to the Torah. Kiilu haya ha'adam nishar bekosnos or began Eden. Haisa ha'Torah muvenes b'inyan yoser ruchani. Had Adam Arisho not sinned, then the Torah would be understood in a much more spiritual and non-physical way. Kemo shekasav ha'pardes b'shar ha'neshama. Ki eich shayach lo sachrosh b'shur uvechamor. For example, the pasuk of lo sachrosh uvechamor would not be relevant in Har Sinai. There was no harisha in Gan Eden. Had man, now, what's he referring to? We know that the Torah preceded the existence of the world. Well, his question is, what do we mean the Torah existed before the world? There was no harisha in Gan Eden, had man not sinned, but there was Torah. So he's saying that the Torah could be understood on many levels. And one level that the Torah could be understood on is this mystical level, this deeper level, this less concrete and physical level. Uchiyotzi b'zeharbe, el shahaya muvan b'inyan ruchani, ma shenikra shur v'chamor. So there would be this spiritual understanding of what a shur is and what a chamor is and what it means, lo sachro shur v'chamor. Kein la'asid, shiachzor ha'olam, tifshot HaTorah Gashmiusa. So La'asid Lavo, the Torah will shed its physicality. In other words, we'll be able to understand Torah in its non-physical way. And that's the Bris Chadasha that the Pasuk is talking about. In other words, there'll be this new, deeper understanding. V'yiskaimu mitzvoseha kefi hamuvan ba'eis ahi. The mitzvos will be understood as they're understood in that time. V'kal havin. Avala kol hi zu haTorah be'atzma, but it's the same Torah fundamentally. Rak ora ya'ir bioser. It's just that its light will shine more strongly. Kemo she'adam ya'ir gamkein. So the Torah we have now is the same Torah, and when we study Nigla, we are studying the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while we might not always understand how these physical manifestations are indeed reflections of these abstract spiritual ideas, we know that they're there. Now, does it make a difference? Okay, they're there, but how does that affect me? So listen to this Zohar. Zohar writes, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Vai lahu barnash de amar Deha oraisa asa l'achza'a sipurin be'alma umilin dehadyote. Woe is to the person who thinks that the Torah is just telling us stories and folk tales. De'i achi, Because if so, afilu bizman ada anan yecholin lemavad oraisa b'milin dehadyote uvishvacha yasir mikulu. Because if that were the case, we could do a better job. We have better folk tales. We could come up with better stories, better fables, better novels. Ilach za'a milid alma. The Torah is just to tell us science or divrei ha'olam. Afilu inun kafsire de alma is beinayu milin ilayin yoser. Other people could do much better. Ihachi nezel abasrayu v'navid minayu araisa ki agavna. Let's go to them. You know, if that's all the Torah is these stories and these fables and these legends, there are other legends that are much better. Ela kol milin de oraisa milin ilayin inun v'razin ilayin. Rather, all the ideas of the Torah are elevated ideas, and sodos el yonim. Oraisa, kevan dinachsas lahai alma, ilav de mislabsha behani levushin dahai alma, lo yachil alma lemizbal. Had the Torah, when it came to this world, not cloaked itself in physical garments, so the world could not stand, and we would have no way to relate to it. And thus, it's necessary for the Torah to present these ideas in concrete physical realities. And Valderchai Sipur, De'oraisa, Levusha, De'oraisa, Ihu. And thus, the stories of the Torah are the Levush of the Torah. Man dechashiv dahu Levusha, Ihu, Oraisa, Mamish, Velo Mila, Achra. So therefore, someone thinks that the Levush, the stories, are the Torah, not anything else. Tipach ruchei v'lo yehele chulka be'alma dasi. He has no chelik in olam haba. Begein kach amar David, gal einai v'abita nifla'os mitorah secha. What does that mean? Ma detachos levusha d'iraisa. David HaMelech davens, help me understand what's beneath the garments. In other words, the true reality. Tachazi, come in here. The Zohar, instead of saying tashma, says tachazi. Relates to something we talked about earlier, that Re'ia is a, as opposed to Shmi'a, another time. Is Levusha Dischazi Lakula. There are some clothing that are visible to everybody. V'inun Tipshin Kad Chaman Levar Nash B'Levusha Dischazi Lon Shapira Lomis Daklin Yatir. So sometimes you'll have a person, a superficial person, a Tipesh. So he sees someone with very nice clothing on, and he doesn't look any further. Chashivu dehu levusha gufa, and he thinks that's it. Chashivusa de gufa nishmasa. But of course it's not true. The chashivus of the guf is not the guf, it's the nishama. Don't judge a book by its cover. What matters is what's on the inside. Ki agavna iraisa is la gufa. So too, the Torah has a guf. V'inun pekude oraisa de akron gufe toira. Hai gufa mislabsha belevushin de inun sefurin de hai alma. So the levush of the Torah are the stories that it represents, that it teaches. Tipshin de alma lo mistakli ala behu levusha de usipur de raisa. So the idiots of the world just see the stories and they think that's it. Velo yad yatir velo mistakli bamed istachos hahu levusha. They don't look what's underneath the clothing. Inhun Diyad in Yatir, people who know more, lo mistaklin bilavusha, they don't look at the clothing, ela begufa de ihu tachos hahu levusha. Rather, what do? They look at the guf that's beneath the clothing. Chachimin, wise people that know even more, avdi de malka ilah, the servants of God, inun de kaimu betura de Sinai, those that were at Har Sinai, lo mistakli ela benishmasa de ihi ikra de kulu araisa mamish. They look even deeper. They don't stop at the guf, but they look for the neshama, because the soul is where it really is. Ulezimna de asi la asid lavo zimnin leistakla benishmasa de nishmasa de araisa. Then we'll look at the nishmasa de nishmasa. So there are four levels. There's the levush of the Torah, which everybody sees, the simple understanding of the stories. There's the guf, if you get one level below that. There's the neshama that chachamim can perceive, and then there's the nishmasa, the nishmasa, what we'll know la'asid lavo, as the Shla told us. The Gemara in Shabbos writes on Peches Amud Beis, Divrei Torah yesh bahem lahamis v'yesh lahem lahachios, that Divrei Torah can bring life and they could bring death. L'mayminim basama dechaye, those who are maiminim, it brings life. And Rachmana Litzlan, the reverse. What does that mean? Says Rashi on the Gemara, asukim b'chol kocham v'trudim ladas soda. For whom is the Torah book of life? Someone who is toireach ladas soda, who tries to understand the soda of Torah, the neshama of the Torah, who gets below the external and below the surface and understands the true reality that Torah teaches. And if you can do that, so then Torah samachayim. And if not, if you just satisfy yourself with that which is external, so then the Torah samamavis. And that's why you see all these people say the stupidest things about Torah, and they come to the craziest conclusions, because for them the Torah is just folklore. And they don't get beyond the clothing. They don't even get to the guf, forget the neshama. So memela, it's a samhamaves. Yes?
What does this say about the halachos of the Torah? Is this only the stories? Or also
no, so the Zohar here is focusing on the stories. Later on in the Zohar, first it focuses on halachos, and we saw the Shla say the very same thing concerning the halachos.
So doesn't that play?
The halachos are true on the level of nigla, and they must be observed on the level of nigla, just like the stories are true. It's not that the levush is a sheker. But the point is, it's a reflection of a deeper and truer reality.
So the idea that it's only a samachai that you get to the deeper reality, is that also for...
If someone, maybe not to the same extent, but to some degree, yes. In other words, if your whole... I don't know if you'd say samhamavis. It sounds like from Rashi, yes. But a superficial understanding of the halacha can lead to either it being dismissed or other problematic consequences. Oh, I wish we could continue, but it's late. We'll read one final line from the Zohar at the bottom of the page. Vayil inun chayavya de amri de ayraisa lav ihi ela sipura be'alma v'inun mistakli belevusha da velo yasir. Woe is to those people that only see the levush. Zakayin Inun sadikaya demistakli beoiraisa kidekayas. And praiseworthy, fortunate are those who are able to look at the Torah as it truly is, its true reality. And again, if you look, I'll just be cite the Mar Makomos. We don't have time to actually study them together. The Ramban at the bottom of the page is his Akdama to Torah, where he talks about this idea how Torah is Kadma Libriyasa Olam, and it was originally an Esh Charal Gabi Esh Levana. And what that means is this, exactly what we're saying, that it's Kulo Shmoso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it reflects the ultimate truth, which goes well beyond that which is stated explicitly on the superficial reading of the text. And he writes, that's one of the reasons why every single letter of the Torah is me'akev, why Sefer Torah that's missing one vav is puzzle. On a level of pshat, on the superficial understanding, it doesn't make a difference, cheseros and yeseros and the like. But when you understand that even that the truth of the Torah lies also in its depth, in it being shemoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so of course, every single letter is me'akev. There's a beautiful Maharal on this topic on page 8. We'll just read a couple of lines. It's so important. Ba'af al-gav dehulo amar shatora hi levush lemilin ilayin rak b'shvil sipurin shehem batorah. Right? Sounds like the Zohar. Shelo yivazeh osam ha'adam mikol makom b'chlal azeh gam kein mitzvah satorah. Ah, so this is exactly your question, right? It's not just with respect to the stories. She'ef shar she'ef ba'olam ha'chomri hazeh rak beguf. The reason why we need the mitzvos is because we live in a physical world and we have physical bodies. Ve'hema mitzvos ha'gashmios. Ukemoshe bar ha'adam shiye bo atzelem haloki hanivdal, kach zos toiras ha'adam im seichel de birya devarim elyonim. Heim omdim bedvarim gashmiim. The kasher masig bedvarim gashmiim. When you understand the gashmiistikat dinim, when you understand the truth of hashor shenagachas hapara, and not just the mystical reality, the lamdos. Halo advarim haim nimshachim el advarim shehim sode Torah. Uki'ilu ha'adam davek be'oso seichel ha'aloki ki ha'Torah hi achas. Oh. And he really develops this idea in this chapter quite beautifully. He writes a little later, im shenirin dvarya bedvarim shiflim, even though the words of the Torah seem very, very superficial, very low. Hare ha-Torah zos miskasheres el pnimius ha-Torah. V'hine iyun ha-Torah b'dvarim ha-gdolim al kol shar ha-chachmos. V'af al pish ein ha-dvarim ha-gdolim yiduim el ha-masig. Mikol makum ha-malbosh karav el ha-guf. Even though we don't understand these things, we don't necessarily perceive this pnimius, but we do connect to it somehow. And it creates a tzirath. And if you want to see more, read this chapter. This is from Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Yud Gimel, where he develops this idea. On page 9, we have Perek Dalet of Sefer Tanya, where he talks about how the Torah and mitzvos are the garments through which the soul has three garments which it clothes itself: the Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. And it does that through doing Torah mitzvos, right? Again, hine shlosha levushim, I'm towards the bottom of the page, elu mea Torah mitzvosa, af shenikraim levushim lenefesh ruach u'neshama, im kol zeh gavha v'gadla ma'alasam le'en ketz v'sof al ma'ilas nefesh ruach u'neshama atzman. Top of page 10. Kemo shekasav b'zohar d'ayraisa v'kutsha b'richu chadhu. Because the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. What does that mean? Perish de oiraisa hi chachmaso ritzono shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo kulo chad. And I'm skipping. And even though he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu in reality is ein sof, but still kach asa b'ritzono and simtzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chachmaso b'taryog mitzvos ha-Torah v'ilchosein. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzim himself and his chachma into the Taryag mitzvos and into the Torah. V'tzirufei osios Torah and v'yivim ksuvim v'drashoseihen b'agados v'midrashei chazal b'chdei shekol ha-neshama o'ruach v'nefesh shebeguf ha-adam tucha l'hasigan b'data. In other words, Torah and mitzvos are a true encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's ki'ilu you're hugging the Ribbono Shel Olam. He explains over here why. That's why Yafe Sha'achas of Torah and Maisim Tovim in this world are greater than Olam Haba, because, right, Olam Haba is a Gutazach, learning Torah is a Besserzach. And he explains what that means, because in Olam Haba we have this sort of abstract encounter of Machshava with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't have this intense, almost Chibuk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through doing Torah and Mitzvot, and he explains exactly how that works. It's a very important chapter. What I was hoping to do is, which we're not going to get to, is talk about, I'll just say, if you look at the Pardes Rimonim on page 13 from the Ramak, he writes, because this is true, it's so important to learn Chizuk for Shnai Mikra, to do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum every week, and Vafil Atros V'divon. We shouldn't think that the Psukim in the Torah that don't seem to be relating important information or not relating important information. Of course, if you look in Torah Sasot, a lot of times the biggest drashos are from the psukim that on a level of pshat don't seem to be conveying important information whatsoever. And again, therefore, if a person wants to tap into them, you have to do Shnai Mikra, you have to make sure to learn that too. I wanted to talk a little bit about how this idea is reflected in the writings of the Rav. At first glance, they seem to be very different. But I'll just, it's late, I'll just read you one quote from Rav Lichtenstein, where he sums up the Rav's approach to Talmud Torah. Torah study gives the Jew insight as direct and profound as man is privileged to attain, into the revealed will of his Creator. Through the study of halacha, the immanent expression of God's transcendent rational will, man's knowledge of God gains depth and scope. Further religious study is a stimulus to the total spiritual personality. Faith can neither be profound nor enduring unless the intellect is fully and actively integrated in the quest for God. And if you take a look at the book Halachic Man, starting from about page 17, for about 15 pages, he talks about the role that Talmud Torah has in Halachic Man. And though it's not this esoteric wisdom, it's something that fits very nicely with this idea. We don't have time to do it. I want to thank you all for a wonderful year. And, you know, Torah never ends. I didn't even get to half of the questions and answers we were supposed to do today. But this is perhaps a good way, a good topic to conclude, because every time we study Torah, we are having an encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Talmud Torah is the way in which we're able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Understanding truth and understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the same thing. It's the ideal way to get to this reality. And anything we do, of course, is just scratching the surface, but there could be no greater activity at the same time. This year, Be'ezus Hashem, we had a chance to talk about a number of, I think, very interesting topics, and hopefully, you know, by no means, I think they call this the survey of Machshavas. You can't survey Machshava. But if it sparked within us the cheshek to go further, so then it was well worth it. Summer, especially Ben Ezmanim, is a good time of year to learn certain svarim that you might not otherwise have a chance to learn the rest of the year. And I want to thank you all once again. You should have a good Shabbos and Hatzlacha Rabbah.